Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Hello, everybody. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. You know, you can't walk into a store without checking out when you buy something, of course. And one thing that everybody does is now they're swiping their cards and they're putting their chips in and they're using their phones. And there's so many different ways to pay. And of course, when we think about it, and we were talking about it around the office, you know, we decided that we wanted to bring a real expert in what we call the point of sale solutions industry on the show, because we started talking about it. And we had so many questions about how it all works. And certainly the types of companies that need a point of sale is basically every company in the world. So we've been able to book a real leader in the space on the show today. His name is Mr. Ellie Katz. And if you're in the POS, you know, system space, you probably know about Ellie. I mean, he's the founder and CEO of National Retail Solutions, of course. So, Ellie, an honor to have you on the show. Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Andy, thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. I mean, your company is a real leader. I mean, you've been at it for a long time. You're really providing point of sale, you know, network and credit card processing ecosystems, you know, which services close to over 17,000 independent retailers across the U.S. I mean, it's remarkable what you've been able to put together at your company. But before we get started, we have so many questions. Let's pull the lens back to 30,000 feet. Give us the high level, what's going on at the company, and then we're going to get into it.
So National Retail Solutions was founded with the basic principle of giving technology to these independent convenience stores, liquor stores, tobacco stores, coast to coast. If you think about these independent corner stores, every part of the country has a different name for them, whether it's bodegas, corner stores, tiendas, party stores, right? They all reference, but they're all basically the same thing, which is an entrepreneur that decided to risk everything to open up the four, you know, these four corners and feed their family and have a business. And they could have gotten a job, but they decided to go this route instead. But they're also the last ones to the dance when it comes to technology. And they're the low-hanging fruit when it comes to whether it's intentional or unintentional, but when it comes to going after market share, they're the ones that unfortunately get hurt the most, because they don't have the resources like some of the brick and mortars. And certainly they don't have the resources like the well-funded, you know, corporate America, technology apps, et cetera. So we created this point of sale register, which seems very simplistic, but it's a very robust, easy to use point of sale register that we deployed coast to coast. As you mentioned, 17,000 locations. Actually, we're closer to almost 20,000 now. We deploy about 650 a month, and that gives them a loyalty program, a rewards program, an inventory program, a merchant app, a consumer app, and so many other bells and whistles. You know, as a customer, we don't look at the register. We look at how does the store look? How is it set up? What products do they have? The register is really the last piece that any customer looks at when they go into the store, literally, because it's the checkout point. But as a merchant, it's probably the most important and essential tool for running their business, knowing what they have on the shelves, knowing how much they have, knowing how much they purchased it for, knowing how much they're selling it for, and knowing when they need to reorder. It really could make or break a business. And we started this 7 years ago when these stores were really working on antiquated technology, the old register or the old shoebox or cigar box, however way they decided to keep their money for whatever reason. And I'll tell you the truth, Andy, I was told that I was going to fail. I was told that this community, these independents, they're very happy with what they have. They don't like technology. They don't want technology. They're not going to accept the technology. I'm wasting IDT, who's our parent company's money, and I'm wasting my time trying to do this. Well, 7 years later, 20,000 units, 650 a month, and so many, and over 300 employees for National Retail Solutions, plus a lot of partners that got us to this point. Somebody was wrong.
It's really remarkable. What a great trajectory, a great entrepreneurial story. You mentioned that these hardworking men and women, they go into their stores every single day. Sometimes they're open 24 hours. Sometimes they're open to 2 o'clock in, you know, in the morning. You know, sometimes they're in, you know, more of the, you know, challenging neighborhoods, but they go at it every single day and they work so hard. They're really part of the American dream. And you've been able to sort of connect to them in a very meaningful way because you provide this very important technology solution that prior to your company coming on the scene, they really didn't have the access to such a simplified but yet robust platform. Let's talk about a little bit your background. I mean, were you always in the POS system or did you have this aha moment that you said, you know, we can really make an impact for all of these stores throughout the country, perhaps ultimately the world with this new idea of a POS that's both robust and simplified?
So I credit the idea to my bosses. National Retail Solutions is a subsidiary, basically a startup in a publicly traded company. IDT has been around since 1994, providing telecom products throughout the country, you know, to the immigrant community, to the Hispanic community, to all different types of communities, anyone who wants to make affordable telephone calls. But what was recognized by my bosses, Howard Jonas, who's the chairman of IDT, and Shmuel Jonas, who's the CEO, he said, listen, our products are being sold in all types of stores, but 80% of our products are being sold in these independent convenience stores. And these independents are lacking the technology, are lacking the insight in order to run their stores properly. And there are these other brick and mortars that are moving into town, you know, with which I won't mention any names, but you know, the big corporate Americas that are in your community that are selling similar products to your mom and pop convenience stores, and they are eating their lunch. They don't have these independents historically were never able to offer coupons, right? There's one universal language between all of us, and that is savings. So we created a digital coupon where a merchant would type in the phone number, and if let's say they're buying a Coke, so it's, you know, the ad would say buy a second Coke and save 50 cents. So they would type in the phone number. Then the consumer would see they could buy a second Coke. They'd reach back, right? Because that's the beautiful thing about this convenience store format. They're very convenient. That's why we are a huge influencer to the path to purchase. Reach back, grab a second Coke. Now, Coke is happy because they sold more soda. That merchant's happy because he sold more soda or she sold more soda. And the customer's happy because they got a very similar offer, equal, maybe even better than one of the national chains was offering down the block. So I saved money at my local. 24 hours later, we would put that money into the merchant's point of sale register, digital wallet. And then at the end of the month, we reconcile with like Coke under that example. So, you know, we as a corporation are able to hold, let's say 1,000 Cokes were purchased nationwide. So we could hold that type of money till the end of the month. A small business cannot.
Yeah, it's so powerful. They get to take advantage of, you know, your strength and power. And of course, you talk about this convenience culture. And, you know, one thing that you're doing is, you know, you're helping them sell more, which is important because you're really providing them what I would call additional advertising tools that they've never had access to have before in their store. So let's talk about that a little bit more, because I find that very compelling that not only are you providing this platform and this technology, but your platform and technology actually helps the convenience store owner sell more stuff.
We have stats we've done, you know, for a lot of these consumer product goods companies that put ads on our screens. Every one of our point of sale registers have a 15-inch customer facing screen in addition to the merchant facing screen. And at the checkout, when they're looking at how much money they owe for their purchase, on the right side is an ad. And that's why we're able to really influence their path to purchase. That's why it was such a powerful ad forum, you know, where advertisers love to, you know, put their ads on our machines, because it's almost guaranteed that the customer is going to look up, right? When it comes to money, people look up what they owe. So, you know, they may not look up the rest of the world, right? When I'm sitting at dinner with my kids are on their devices. They're not talking to me. Okay, they want to ask me a question, they send me a text, you know, and we're 2.5 feet away from each other. But when you're pulling out your money, you have to look up. So that's a very powerful ad tool. And it also gives the merchant the ability to, let's say there's something that's expiring, or I overpurchased as a merchant and I have too much inventory and I need a clear space. I could put my own ad up there so I can communicate with the customer without having to talk to the customer, right? Because you don't know who's working behind the counter that day, but the ad screen will always show up to work.
Yeah, it's such a great idea. So, you know, the store owner, let's say they have to move some product along because maybe it's expiring. They can build their own ad that when the customer goes to check out on this beautiful screen you provide, they can place an ad on there. Hey, did you think about maybe you need some extra, you know, soft drinks, or maybe we have a special on some milk today? And then they can drive additional purchases through the screen. Is that the idea?
Absolutely. And we could drive a change of the way you purchase, right? Meaning if you, let's say, scan a box of spaghetti, or I don't want to mention any names, but you scan a box of spaghetti at the supermarket and it says save 25 cents, go buy a second. Like, you're making a real decision if you want to fight your way out of those lines at the supermarket, go down to aisle 16, find the right SKU, three shelves down, grab it and come back and fight your way back into the line to save 25 cents. You know, I know when I'm with my wife, we tag team our shopping, right? Okay, I'll go online, you finish the shopping, and if there's any discounts, coupons, I'll call you and just say, pick it up. So, you know, we do that. But when you're at these independent convenience stores, when you're at these bodegas, these tiendas, these party stores, and that ad shows up for save 25 cents or buy a second, you just reach back. At best or at worst, okay, one person goes in front of you and, you know, they only have a limited amount of items. It's not like they're buying 60, 70 items like a supermarket, et cetera. Reach back and you really influence the path to purchase. I can also change that person's path. Okay, they were going to buy one type of chocolate bar, but the ad showed a different type of chocolate bar. So now they're going to buy that other chocolate bar, which happens to be right in front of them.
Yeah, I love it. It's a brilliant approach. And when I think of a business and a company and a platform and a technology like yours, Ellie, and what you and your amazing team provides, and I want to talk about your team in a moment. One thing that resonates for me that I think about is the data. I mean, I would imagine you have a lot of data coming through your system. Now, are you able to parse the data, or are you able to use the data to maybe help your retailers understand the current marketplace and perhaps what they need to maybe restock on or what they need to sell more of and things like that?
You hit the nose on the nail on the head. Sorry, I don't remember what the nose one was. I'm sure there's some type. If you hit the nail on the head, and that is first, the first easy thing that we did was we created a list of 300 items that are selling, let's say in California. And we tell them, these are the top 300 items that are selling in your neighborhood, right? And these are the average prices. I know that sounds so simple, but like a lot of these chain stores have an entire department that prices products. When a small independent goes and purchases, let's say laundry detergent, then that's a great example, because we saw the price for a specific size laundry detergent, the same exact size laundry detergent within a 2 mile radius, be between $3.99 and $6.99. So they don't know. You know, did they price it based on how much they paid for it? Did they price it based on how much they want to make on it? They don't have that. So we give them the data and the intel to make smarter decisions. Hey, this is the top 300 items. So if you're not carrying one of these items, you should. And by the way, these are the average prices for those. So if your pricing for detergent is $6.99 and the average price in your area is $3.99, you may want to reconsider your strategy. And then, I mean, there's so many other ways that we do that with, you know, obviously inventory and other things that we use this data for to help these merchants thrive and compete.
Yeah, I love it. You use the data to further enhance the platform and make your clients' lives even better by helping them understand what they need to do to sell more, which then helps them feed their families in a much more powerful way. Let's talk about it just for a sec. Okay. And I'm going to put you on the spot here
They told me that you were going to grill me and I should come prepared. I went to the gym this morning and I worked out. I said, okay, I'm ready for Andy Jacob.
You're ready. I love it. Okay.
I
think you will be, but it's just curious. So the people watching the show, they might be saying to themselves, you know, it's been a while since I've been into a convenience store or a bodega or a store, you know, in an area that I haven't frequented in a long time. What are some of the most popular selling items? I mean, is it things that they need daily? Is it milk? Is it drinks? Is it cigarettes? I mean, what's the biggest sellers in these stores?
So if you would have asked me that question about a year and a half ago, it would have shifted between what was the biggest seller during the heart of the pandemic versus what's the biggest seller during now, right? Because during the pandemic, these stores were essential stores. And if you think about it, most people didn't want to be in the crowded supermarkets, right? So they wanted to go in a place where they could run in, run out, not too many people. So those stores not only carried the items that you would think of, the snacks, the sodas, the wines, etc., you would have, and this is the beauty of having these independent stores, right? Because if you go into the cashier, let's say behind 7-Eleven, I don't want to call anyone out, but that's a national known chain, and you say, hey, would you mind getting me this special wine? Probably the cashier wouldn't do it. But you go into one of these independent convenience stores and say, hey, you know, my wife and I really want this special wine, and you have other wines. Can you ask it? There's a very good chance that wine will show up and has shown up during the pandemic. So what's being carried now? The obvious are the ones that they, I forgot the exact statistic, but they say like 80% of all items that are purchased at a convenience store consumed within the first half an hour or some statistic like that. I might have been off a couple seconds and a couple of items, but that's the reality. So, you know, you have the drinks, you have the snacks, you have the emergency needs, right? The diapers and dressings and wine or alcohol, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's interesting. Of course, your data will provide information to that particular merchant about what they need to carry. Ellie, one thing you're known for at the National Retail Solutions at NRS is your team. And you briefly mentioned it earlier in the interview. You know, one thing that your entire team has that sort of weaves a perfect fabric is you really care about your clients. You put the clients at the forefront of everything you do. So when you hire somebody to join the team, Ellie, so share some of the things for our entrepreneurs watching the show about what you look for. Are you looking for, you know, background, experience, passion, commitment, a positive attitude? What types of things are the most important for someone to join your NRS team over there?
All of the above, but I will tell you that is not a requirement. And this may sound a little odd to you, experience, right? So let's say, you know, and I had this conversation with another entrepreneur this morning, and he said to me, he goes, he can't stand it when he hires a welder with experience, because that welder always wants to compare, like, oh, if you would get this welding machine and you would get this welding that and that, and you spend the whole time talking about his experience and his path. We breed superstars, right? We hire great people. In fact, that is the secret to our success. We have an amazing team. Start, it doesn't matter which department you're in. We're all here to help each other. We all do help each other. And you can come in. You may not know anything about running a warehouse or working in a warehouse or working with inventory or working on, we will teach you. We will, you know, if it's in it, if you have that fire in your belly, we'll make sure that that becomes a flame and that you excel in whatever you're passionate about.
I love it. And I know you believe in constant, never ending improvement, and you're never going to rest on your laurels. One thing when I think about you, and one of the reasons I was very excited, Ellie, to have you on the show is I kind of think of you as a forward thinker, somewhat of a zeitgeist, someone that sort of is thinking in three-dimensional chess about what's going on in the future. So let's talk about it. I know that you've got some things on tap. You've got a whiteboard behind you. I know you can't share.
Those are all our secret recipes.
I know. And I know you can't share all the secret recipes because it probably wouldn't be prudent from a strategy standpoint. But just, you know, from a high level, what's next at National Retail? What other things are you working on that you can actually share with the audience?
So I just want to touch upon the secret recipes and segue from the employee conversation. You know what? I'm a very open person. When we ask me any question, chances are I'll give you the answer. You know, I guess it all depends on if I'm in the appropriate forum to say that answer. But, you know, there is no real secrets, right? The reality is the secret to our success, and people always say, oh, wow, it's amazing what you built in 7 years. It's unbelievable. You know, it's, you know, and it really is amazing. But our secret recipe, if you need to repeat the, to take a concept or an idea, is our secret recipe is our employees. So you better get ready to make room for 300 people. And the way it's shifted and the way it's connected and the way they interact and the different, you know, things that we put into these, into the employees and managing the employees, et cetera. So we have a great team. Now you asked about what's on the horizon. What are we working on next? Well, 7 years ago, technology was the big threat to these independents. Now, technology is the threat to these independents. And I'll tell you, you know, there are these very well-funded technology apps that are looking to completely shift the way people shop. I don't have to tell you, right? So we all know Amazon, they've been at it for several years and they're doing a great job. And certainly my wife is one of their biggest supporters. But a lot of, there's other apps out there that want to prevent, you know, their tagline is basically making the convenience store more convenient. How do we make it more convenient? By not having you go into the convenience store. They created these dark warehouses or dark stores that are warehouses and they deliver from those warehouses. So what we're doing now is we are taking our e-commerce platform that's integrated with our point of sale register. We talk about data and inventory and information, but we know everything that's being sold in those stores. We know what they carry. Now we just flip a switch and now anyone around the country can basically order something directly from their local convenience store, you know, their tienda, their bodega. So they're helping their shop local, right? Everyone wants to shop local. They're helping those local shops. And I'll tell you, we've partnered with some of the great gig drivers, you know, the Ubers, DoorDashes, and a few others to bring this to reality. They have, you know, I don't want to speak for them or about them, but, you know, during the conversation, certainly many of them have recognized the needs to give this technology of being able to deliver out of these stores. Once again, last to the dance. Everybody else is doing delivery. A lot of these stores are not. And and we are making it affordable and we're making it easy to do so that their customers are beyond specific borders, right? It's no longer my customers live on this block. No, my customers live several blocks away and we'll deliver whatever it is we carry. You know, you like the sandwich from our store and that's why you always drive to my store. But guess what? Now the sandwich will come to you.
I love it. I love it so much. Of course, I was just making a couple notes because I wanted to follow up with you for our next interview. But when I think about it and I think about what you're doing, you sort of touched on it. Again, you said they're the last to the dance, but now you bring them to the dance and, you know, you dress them up beautifully. And now they're dancing the ballroom dance with everybody else. I love it.
Right. Yeah. For now, by the way, Andy, that's for now until something else changes, right? Until all the stores in your neighborhood are getting their stuff delivered and delivered and received by drones or by whatever else, you know, lasers or whatever else that technology is. And guess what? When that happens, NRS will be there for these independents. And it's not just independents with small chain stores as well. You know, they've been coming to us and they've been, you know, they see the technology and they're saying if National Retail Solutions can have 20,000 bosses, 20,000 merchants that give feedback and tell NRS what they would like to see, then we should be working with them because, you know, we come with a chain store of 15, 20, 30, 50, whatever it is, and we work with them.
Yeah, I love it. Of course, you've only cut out a certain amount of time. You're up to 20,000 independent retailers across the U.S. Before I let you go, I need to pick your brain just for a minute. I want to talk to the entrepreneurs watching the show because, you know, they're watching you, 20,000 stores. You've been in it for 6-7 years. For the younger entrepreneurs, Ellie, that are maybe hitting a stumbling block or maybe hitting a pothole in the road, can you give some advice to the younger entrepreneurs about what it takes to get through that tough time and keep on pushing?
Grit. That's what it takes. It takes grit and gut, you know, a lot. And don't give up. You know, I always say that people say, oh, Ellie, everything you touch turns to gold. It doesn't, by the way. It's just I don't let it go when it's still cold. I still hold it until we turn it into, you know, figure it out, like how to pivot. Don't be afraid to pivot and figure out how to make that into something successful. You know, when I had a bakery, it was, you know, 20 something years ago, you had Atkins come out about telling people not to eat carbs.
Right.
My business went from, and then you had these, you know, big, warehouse stores selling bakery items, you know, that I was selling one muffin for $1.95. And they were selling four muffins for $1.75. So I went from 80% retail and 20% wholesale. I pivoted to 80% wholesale and 20% retail. I had no choice. You pivot fast or you lose your business.
Yeah, great advice. Be gritty. Be ready to pivot. Be watching for signs at all time. I mean, you've done such a great job, Ellie. Listen, I'm going to bring you back on the show. I'm going to call it 30 minutes with Ellie about entrepreneurship, because I think we want to pick your brain about entrepreneurship and the journey. This has been a great interview, Ellie. I've been excited to have you on the show. And thanks so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Andy, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor.